Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious, merciful, and loving Father in heaven, we come, O Lord, before Thee this night, with hearts, Lord, full of gratitude because of how we have received so much from Thee throughout these days at this FCM camp. You have taught us of Thy word. You have granted us times of sweet fellowship. And indeed, O Lord, we have beheld Thy goodness and Thy greatness. And we, O Lord, can only marvel at Thy loving care for Thy children. And so, Lord, as tonight we come to have this concluding message on the theme, Be Strong and of a Good Courage, we ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thou would continue to show us from Thy precious word what Thou desires Thy children to do. And we pray, Father, that every one of us may respond in a good way, in loving obedience, O Lord, to Thee, with a heart, O Lord, that will fully surrender itself unto our Saviour, Christ Jesus. And as Thy people, O Lord, walk with good courage before Thee, we know, O Lord, that Thou would surely shower us with Thy favour and grant us, O Lord, grace that is most necessary for us each step of our pilgrim journey here upon this earth. So open our eyes, O Lord, to Thy precious word, and help us, O Lord, to behold wondrous things from out of Thy word. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Be strong and of a good courage, the challenge. In this last message, rather than just a verse-by-verse exposition of Judges chapter 2, it's more a rallying cry to every one of us of this generation. We have heard over the last few days what it means to be strong and of a good courage. We are talking about moral strength, moral courage, having a backbone for the truth. This strength, this courage is one that is given to us by the Lord by grace. He has trained us each step of the way and help us, O Lord, help us to grow in strength and courage before Him. And with every test that He puts in our way, we learn precious lessons about ourselves. We learn precious lessons about God Most High. And we pray that should the time of the spiritual battle arrive, when the time of great storms and challenges come our way, that we will do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, even though the world may try to make us fear, to try to tear us away from Christ, that we will be strong in God's precious word. This is the challenge that every generation will face. This was the challenge that the godly generation of Joshua faced. And we are very thankful to the Lord that if we study the book of Joshua, that in general, that generation has been faithful unto the Lord. The Lord make it very clear that that generation walked brightly in the sight of God. But while that generation walked rightly in the sight of God, what will be the case for the generation that follows? Will they also be a people that is strong and of a good courage? Will they remember the precious lessons that have been learned even in the generations that have passed? Sadly, as we read the book of Judges, we are told that the succeeding generations did not fare well. They were not a people that were strong and of a good courage. In fact, the book of Judges tells us that they were a people that did what was right in their own eyes. They were very courageous to do what they thought was right, not what God thought was right. And therefore, they were a spiritually weak people. They were not a people of good courage. How will the Lord describe your generation. By the grace of God, we had a generation of Bible Presbyterian fathers which did their very best to walk before the Lord. Some of them did well, others did not do so well. And because they did not do so well, you realize that there are consequences that have passed down to our current generation. But like it or not, that previous generation has already passed. We are talking about the generation, about the founding pastor of the Bible Presbyterian movement, the Reverend Timothy Toh. Like it or not, as long as we talk about the Bible Presbyterian Church, we have to talk about him, because the Lord used him in a very mighty way to found the Bible Presbyterian movement. We do not talk about him in the form of worship, just like how when we talk about Joshua, when the scriptures declared that the children of Israel feared him. They did not fear him in the form of worshipping him. They feared him because they understood that this was the man whom God has called to be the leader of the children of Israel. And so therefore, by virtue of the office that God has bestowed upon him, they feared him because they feared God. They understood that behind Joshua was God. And so long as Joshua would do his very best to walk in the Lord, to be a person that is of good moral courage and of good moral strength and of good courage, they will very willingly follow Joshua. But there will be a time whereby Joshua will be taken away from them. And now, Joshua would no longer be among the children of Israel to minister to them. His influence now has stopped. He is now absent from the people. Now, with this absence, how will the people react? It's very, very much like what is the case right now with the Bible Presbyterian movement. Most of the founding fathers, they have gone home to be with the Lord. The Reverend Timothy Toh, the founding pastor of the Bible Presbyterian movement, has gone home to be with the Lord. The founding pastor of Kari Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church has also gone home to be with the Lord. Like it or not, if you want to talk about the history of Kari Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church, you have to talk about Dr. Toh Siang Hwa. I hope Kari Pandan Church will not forget that. He may not necessarily be a perfect man, but he did according to the grace of God that was upon him to minister to the people of this congregation, to the sheep which God has bought by his precious blood. And the last to go will be the dear wife of Reverend Timothy Toh, the matron of the Far Eastern Bible College, Mrs. Ivy Toh. Now they are no longer around. How will the sons of the Bible Presbyterian faith respond? Will they remember the precious lessons that have been taught before from God's word? Or will they very quickly capitulate to what they think is right in their own eyes? That will be the question. Because as you see right here from the scriptures, every small compromise will be judged by the Lord. It has its consequences. Before the Lord would talk about the challenges that each generation will face, this chapter begins with a reminder that the Lord Jesus Christ will judge every generation. The angel of the Lord himself, that is the pre-incarnate Christ, he came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, I make you to go up out of Egypt. So that is how we know that this was not any ordinary angel of the Lord. This is God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I make you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I say, I will never break my covenant with you. So in other words, God is always faithful. Remember the promise that we have learned in Joshua chapter 1. Which Joshua was supposed to remember, which the children of Israel were supposed to remember. God is always faithful to his word. God is always faithful to his covenant. And so therefore, if they walk with the Lord, God will be faithful to give the land to them. So the fault is never with God. Now God has made his covenant with his people. And being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he will also have stipulations in this covenant which he will demand his people to keep. And he told the children of Israel that they shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Not only shall they throw down their altars, but if you were to look very carefully about what God demanded of them, they are to exterminate the people of the land. Now let me answer one Q&A question very quickly because it came up. Because somebody asked about the safe commandment, thou shalt not kill. And they talk about it, say, oh, how about all the women, how about all the children, aren't they innocent? Well, firstly, know that the sin of every generation will have consequences upon succeeding generations. That is point number one. Point number two, please understand that every man born into the world is already a sinner. This is because of the doctrine of original sin. Right? We inherited that sin from who? From Adam. The Bible makes it very clear. When David declares that even in the womb, we are shapen in iniquity. So no man, no one can say that they are not deserving of the judgment of the Lord. The wages of sin is death. And so, why is it that the children of Israel can be asked to kill and they do not break the sixth commandment? Because who is the one who asked them to kill? It is God. If God did not ask you to kill, then you have no right to kill anyone, to destroy the image of God that is in any man. But if God says that you are to be my instruments of judgment, that is no breaking of the sixth commandment. And in fact, if you look very carefully at Judges chapter 2, the Lord faulted them for not following his commandment to the T. What happened to the children of Israel as time went by? Well, because the war was long. And so therefore, they decided to take the easy way out. Now, before you point an accusing finger at the children of Israel, know that wars are not easy to fight. We are Singaporeans reading this passage of scripture, and because in Singapore, we are so blessed with so many decades of peace, we sometimes cannot understand the horrors and the toils of war. When COVID-19 came, and it was not even war, just after a few weeks of people being isolated from each other, some people already could not take it. True? Now, that is COVID-19. It was a sort of a war against a virus, but even then, it was, to be frank, I do not know whether y'all will receive it. To be frank, COVID-19 is considered a light pestilence. And actually, the COVID-19 pestilence was not new. Last time in the past in Singapore, we had SARS before. And one of my first FCM camp was memorable because it was conducted during the SARS pandemic. That time, nobody knew anything about masks. We just came by faith for the retreat. Well, now COVID-19, we have masks. I mean, I'm not saying don't be careful, okay? Please be careful. If now that we know this, let's take a proper human responsibility. If we should wear, we wear. But last time, no. Yeah, we came by faith. COVID-19 was like pestilence, and after that we were ordered to stay at home. And what happened to the lives of many a Christian? Well, COVID-19 was a litmus test. Because so many people in isolation, they could not take the life, and then after that, it was really a test to see whether they will be spiritually strong in the Lord or they are spiritually weak. And it's quite a revealing test after that. Because after the COVID-19, when people came back to the church, some changed so much. Some changed for the better. You thought that before that they were not serious by the Lord, but when they come back, they was so fervent for the Lord. They say, I want to worship the Lord even more. But others came and their attitude towards God totally changed. A lot of the present problems now in the Bible Presbyterian Church started when COVID-19 came. Because the hearts of many men changed. That is the truth. The problem is always with men, not God. God told them, you must get rid of all these people in the land because this land, I have given it to you for one purpose. You are to be a spiritual witness in this portion of land. You are to be a nation like no other nations, whereby the truth of the gospel is supposed to spread far and wide through you. You are to show the other nations what it means to believe in Jehovah, what it means to believe in Christ. You are to be an example to all the nations. And because of that, no idols can be tolerated in the land. No idol worshippers allowed or to be exterminated. The only time where they should not be exterminated is what? If any of them would be like Rahab and they come to believe in the Lord, then they will have to be integrated into Israel. Otherwise, they perish. That's why you cannot say that any of them are innocent because they have a choice. Do you integrate within Israel and embrace Jehovah, repent of your sins? Or do you cling on to your idols and perish? Every one of them will choose to cling on to their idols and perish. But because the war is long, the war is tiresome, it is worse than going through that COVID-19 period. If you read the horrors of World War II, you'll realize that after a while, people were pleading for the war to end. Or even better, go and read about the horrors of World War I. Some people were driven crazy because in the battlefield, they see so many of comrades falling and then they could not take fighting the opposite enemy. Because some of the opposite enemy, though it may be classified as enemy, yet some of them, they regarded them as friends. It was the pains of war. And then the stench of death permeating their noses, they could not take it. Because so many dead bodies around, sicknesses spread. Fighting a war is tiresome business, dear friends. And so as they became tired of fighting the war. Now, by the way, the Lord purposely allowed the war to be long. Why? One reason is because if the war was quick, just like what happened in World War II, you know what happened to the Germans in World War II, right? They fought the war so quick that in the end they realized that the land could not recuperate. They themselves also fight the war so quickly until they did not have enough resources. That led to the collapse of the Germans. And so the Lord was very wise. He made Israel fight the war step by step, step by step, step by step. For the first part of the war, you realize that instead of fighting the battles in the cities, their enemies will come out and then fight the wars outside of the cities. For example, if you were to take a look at what will happen with regards to AI, you realize that the majority of the fighting men were outside of the cities. They're drawn out of the cities. Then later with the incident of the Gibeonites, because of the Gibeonites, the surrounding armies wanted to attack the Gibeonites, the children of Israel intercepted them and wiped out most of the armies. So that left the city intact. But after that, it was step by step, step by step, step by step, slowly, so that the land would not be barren. But because of that, it was slow. And after that, the children of Israel go weary. They did not want to fight their battles anymore. And instead, they begin to enslave the nations around them. Isn't it more economical? Isn't it more efficient to have them to be slaves? Why should we kill them? Now, they make them slaves not because they believe in Jehovah. These men, these women, they continue to hold on to their idols. But they make them servants, or they make them under to give them tribute. Sounds good, right? Why kill them when you can earn money from them and we become rich through them? And that's why the Lord says here, you have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? And so because of the later years' compromise, you realize that the Lord now judged them. He says, because of this, now I will not drive them out from before you, but they will be thorns in your sides, and your gods will be a snare unto you. In other words, the consequence of letting this group of people live is that now idol worship shall come into Israel, and it will continue to be a pain to Israel. And it was a pain for Israel throughout their history. All the way until the destruction of the southern kingdom in 586 BC. And even then, when they came back to the land later on, they may have learned their lessons not to have physical idols, but the idols of the heart was much harder to get rid. And by the way, even today in Israel, of course, the Jews themselves, they may not have so certain sectors of Jews may not have those idols, but there's still a lot of idol worship in the land. If you will go to Israel today, you can see. You compromise. You're the generation that does not fight the battle courageously before the Lord, draw strength from Him, and you decide to abide in your weakness, this will be the consequence. And it will affect future generations. That's why if you all become fathers and mothers, please think through this very carefully. What heritage exactly do you want to leave for your children? Is it that they have good academic results? They have all the possessions of the world? Or is it that they have a rich spiritual heritage? That they can see the reality of your faith in you? That is what you must ask yourself. Now the children of Israel hear the judgment of the Lord. They knew that it was a true and perfect judgment. And therefore they begin to weep. And because they wept, the place was called Bochim, which means weeping. But too late. The consequences now will come upon generations upon generations. Nevertheless, each generation will always have an opportunity to do good before the Lord. But sadly, this is where we will read about the two challenges that the future generations will face. And the first challenge that you will see, which is a challenge that we too will have today, is this. the challenge of transmission. What do you mean by transmission? The transmission of the faith, the passing on of the faith. Will we pass on the faith to the next generation? Now, this goes two ways. Number one, it will require, firstly, the faithful teaching of the older generation. And number two, it will, of course, require also the faithful reception from the new generation. The old generation can faithfully teach, but the new generation does not faithfully receive, it will be pointless. On the other hand, even if the new generation desired the word of God, but if the old generation does not teach, then how then may they know the truth? And so it is very sad to see what is written from verse 6 to verse 10. Now, after Joshua has gone home to be with the Lord, that is where the real challenge begins, right? Because just like any man, you know, when there are some influential men around, sometimes people will learn how to behave themselves. Now, when they behave themselves, we do not know whether it's because of the fear of the person or because of the fear of the Lord. True? Sometimes young men and young women, they will behave themselves well because they fear their parents. Not that it's wrong to fear the parents, but they fear their parents solely because they are their parents, not because of God. Not because they see them as God's authority over them. And so long as their parents remain upon the earth, they behave well. Well, sometimes they do not even need to wait for the parents to be present upon the earth. Just when they go overseas, they go for their student exchange program. Now there are a lot of student exchange programs, right? Many degrees require you to go overseas. They change. Once there is freedom from the parents, they change. Once they start to work, they change. So many youth, once they start to work, suddenly they do a 180 degree turn, and then their parents, their faces turn pale because suddenly they don't recognize their children. And they will tell their mother and father, I'm not going to church anymore. Why? Because now they have found independence. Of course, when they get married, they begin to think suddenly they are independent of their parents too. And then when their godly parents are taken home to be with the Lord, they finally think, now nobody will see what I do. I am free to do whatever I want. And same also with regards to godly leaders. Now that godly leaders, the founding fathers, have been taken away, what will the current generation do? I really wonder. This is one of the great burdens in my heart. And that's why I am very thankful to the Lord this topic actually came up among the FCMI. The committee will know I did not dictate what is the theme. The Lord led you all to this team. And when this team came up, I was pleasantly surprised because I thought that this is actually the most needful for everyone to understand. Do not be surprised if change can come on the Bible Presbyterian Church very rapidly. This is one of the lessons I learned, especially from the times of the fight of the verbal plenary preservation of scriptures. Things can just twist and turn so easily. Hearts of the people can just change so rapidly. And I hope we will not end up saying what is said in verse 10. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, so that godly generation is now gone. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Did that mean that the parents did not teach them the word of God? Well, there may be a possibility, even though that was a godly generation, perhaps they could have done more in teaching the children the word of God. Or perhaps they should have looked for and prayed for something more to be seen in their children. They have not prayed for them enough. You know, sometimes parents think that just because their children can memorize verses, memory verse kings and queens, that therefore they are very good boys and good girls. That is foolish thinking. We pray that our children will truly be sincere in the faith. And that is something which only God can give. And if we live our lives, it's not just about the teaching of God's word daily as parents. If we as parents do not live our lives according to the scripture, if we do so outwardly, not by the power of the Spirit, not because of the right motives, please do not think that our children cannot see that hypocrisy in us. It will be as broad as daylight. And dear FCMers, you must be convicted in your heart that you do not become such parents. Dare we say that even in the Bible Presbyterian Church, there are many people who are living in such hypocrisy. They come to church, they worship, they may be even able to answer questions when it comes to FEBC exams. They may be able to answer questions when it comes to discussions. You know, Bible Presbyterian churches, experts in discussions. But whether or not we are faithful in holy living is another question altogether. It's pointless to be expert in discussions, dear FCMers. I'm not saying don't have discussions, okay? But it's pointless to be experts in discussions, but faithless in living. This generation that arose, either the parents did not communicate the faith faithfully, either in terms of faithful teaching, to talk about the Lord, and to recount the works. Recount the works would be to talk about history, by the way. But history interpreted through the lens of what? Of scripture. That's why I overheard some discussion. You're talking about importance of history. Yes, history is very, very important, but must be interpreted with what? In the lens of the Lord. God willing, next semester, that I'll be teaching the book of Jeremiah. I'm not sure whether we will reach that point, but a lot of passages on Jeremiah will talk about the importance of history. Telling Israel, you must remember your history. Remember the works of the Lord. Did the parents teach these things to them? We wonder. But it could also have very well been that even those things were taught to their children, that their children did not faithfully receive them. You know, sometimes when we have certain things easily, we do not appreciate it. Do you appreciate the transport system in Singapore, by the way? If you don't, then next time when you have chance to go for a student exchange program, experience the transport system in other countries. Sometimes we talk about, wow, this is the first world country, must have first world transport system. Not true for all countries. Some are even worse than Singapore. And then when we take the transport system in Singapore, every day we begin to complain, wow, so bad, the transport system. We don't appreciate what we have in Singapore. But more importantly is this. Do we appreciate the spiritual heritage that we have? You know, in some countries, they want to hear the word of the God, but they do not even have preachers. Here we have an abundance of preachers. And then we also have faithful preachers teaching us the word of God. It's not just abundance of preachers, but faithful teachers teaching us the word of God. But you know, after a while, familiarity breeds contempt. And then we want to go and hear other preachers so that our ears may be tickled. they may not be teaching the doctrines faithfully, but we want to hear something different. You see, that's the problem. And after that, we go to despise what is supposed to be the Bible Presbyterian heritage. Faithful teachings of God's word, which and practices which our fathers have fought so hard to establish, and then very soon we will want to let them go. Because we did not receive them faithfully, and that's why here it says, knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. It's not that they really did not know right here in the mind, because they would have been uttering the word Jehovah almost every day. The Lord, the Lord. They would be reciting the scriptures. They may be going to the tabernacle for worship. Surely that witness of the Lord was not absent from Israel in that sense. But they did not know him in a saving way. Please be a generation that really know the Lord. We pray that it's not just know the Lord in a superficial way. Be a generation that really know the Lord well. We hope that we have indeed passed on the torch to faithful men. Just like what is written in 2 Timothy 2:2. The things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men. Who, of course, what will they do? Right? They will also teach other faithful, other men, and commit them also to other faithful men. We hope that this will be the case. Otherwise, it will end up like what is written in verse 10. First challenge. Second challenge, which I will describe in general from verse 10 all the way to verse 19, will be this. The challenge of spiritual entropy. Okay, question. What is the meaning of the word entropy? I know I'm using a physics term. What is entropy? Any engineers here? Timotheus is pointing to some. All right, engineers, what is entropy? Can you describe? And what are we emphasizing here? Okay, just describe in simple terms for everyone to hear. Okay, what I'm sure you know what I'm driving at, engineers. Okay, what is the second law of thermodynamics? All right, describe in a very simple term is that things will tend to what? Disorder, deteriorate, decompose. I'm saying at a very basic level, okay? Of course, there's much more. I know the engineers know there are much more, but I'm saying at a very basic level. And that is exactly what we see during the time of Judges. Spiritual entropy, the challenge of spiritual entropy. Can we arrest that? That would be the question for the Bible Presbyterian Church. Because looking at church history, history will declare that every movement that begins eventually will die. It begins with a man, or a few men, like for example, the book of Acts, it begins with a few men, right? And then it leads to a movement. But after that, the movement will lose its heart and soul. It becomes a machine. It just runs, like the program will just run, and then everybody is just trying to keep up with the program. And after the machine runs for some time, the machine dies and becomes what? A monument. Man, movement, machine, monument. We pray that at least the next generation of Bible Presbyterians will not be the generation where it becomes machine or monument. I still think it's not yet. But we pray that it will not. It's a great fear in my heart because I fear that I am a pastor called in a time where the BP Church has a danger of becoming a machine. That is my great fear. And I speak this sincerely to all of you from God's word. Because if you look from verse, you have read just now, right? The passage from verse 11 to verse 19 in general. What do you see? Well, you see that the children of Israel, they are very callous in their behavior. They begin to run after the other idols, worship all the idols, integrate these idols into their worship. Some even to the extent whereby they will rather forsake the worship of the Lord and instead choose to worship Baalim and Ashtaroth. And yet the Lord was so gracious to chastise them. And in due time, when they cry out to deliverance from the Lord will send out judges to deliver them. But if you read the book of Judges, this will carry on. In this way, the Lord will deliver them. But then after that, they will everything will be peaceful. And then after that, they will sin against the Lord. And then it will come to a point in time whereby they wouldn't, even when they were in distress, they will not even cry out to the Lord. And yet the Lord will deliver them. With each succeeding generation of the children of Israel, the spiritual state got worse and worse. Until you can see the chaos towards the end of the book of Judges, which we know described right here. What happened to the moral strength? What happened to true courage? It's gone. Oh, but they are very courageous to do evil and wicked things. But when the enemies came to oppress them, they begin to hide from the enemy. No courage. And when their spiritual state deteriorated, you realize that it even came to a point whereby even when they were hiding from the enemy, they did not even have courage to what? To confront their sin, to cry out to the Lord for deliverance. Which was what we talked about this morning. No courage to even confront sin among the congregation and in their lives. And so the cycle continues. But as the cycle continues and continues and runs, you realize that it's not this way, you know. It's like in the same circle, round and round. It's going downwards, spiraling downwards. Until finally, it will come to a point of time whereby the Lord will say, enough is enough. And then after that, the northern kingdom will be destroyed by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom will be destroyed by the Babylonians. So, dear friends, now that is your time to live here upon this earth, this will be your responsibility. The challenge of spiritual entropy. Please, do not let spiritual entropy occur. You can be the generation that arrests it, or at least not be the generation that promotes it. You can not have any control of how future generations will live, but at least you can do what is in your power to make sure that they have a rich spiritual heritage to inherit. That nobody can accuse this generation that it has not set a good example of what it means to be strong and courageous in the face of evil and wickedness in this world. That nobody can say that you all did not stand up against idolatry. That nobody can say that you all did not stand up to ill behavior. That nobody can say about you that you are a people who have compromised. And your challenge will come. That would be the last point from verse 20 to verse 23. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel. So every generation, the Lord will prove Israel. And that test is to see whether or not they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. So what it means is that the generation of Joshua in general keep the way. Yes, not that they are without faults, but in general, they did their very best to follow the Lord. But how about succeeding generations? How about your generation? Not just you. Pray for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because you are not in the fight alone. It is insufficient for you to be strong and courageous. But we pray that you, being strong and courageous in the Lord, can be used as an example to provoke others to follow the same way. Please be a generation, a group of people, a group of Christians, who in the end the Lord will also say, they have walked in the way they're in. The Lord will, in his good wisdom, leave challenges for us to test us. Just like in verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. The Lord will, in his good wisdom, leave certain issues, problems, for every generation to confront. So that the question may be posed of that generation, will you be strong and of a good courage? Will you remember what you have learned from the book of Joshua? Will you therefore put it into practice? Or will it therefore just be fluff that will stay in discussion questions and answers? There will be the test. So therefore, dear friends, commit yourselves to what you have learned from God's word. And may I also provoke you to study good history. Right, I brought some books. I mean, some of you may have read these books before, but I hope that y'all will really treasure all these accounts. And if you need to read them again, do read them. Sometimes you may get fresh perspectives when you read these books. Right, you have things like, for example, the Singapore Bible Presbyterian Story by the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. He has another book called The Story of My Bible Presbyterian Faith. I think so. That's the title. You can read these books. He also has an account of his life. This one, Son of a Mother's Vow. You can find them on the PDF version on the FEBC website. Go and read. Some of you may have also taken Footprints in the... What's the full title again? Sorry, I forget. Footprints in the Sands of Time, right? Otherwise, I think there's a PDF version also on Calvary Pandan's website. Go and read. You can read those accounts. And let me also humbly recommend this one. This was a course that was conducted some time ago. The principal of the college moved some of us younger pastors to, at the time not yet pastors, preachers, but just began ministry, to have this course called Bible Presbyterianism History and Theology. Because it's the first edition, so please forgive us if there are certain typo errors here and there. It's still there. And I'm not sure, but maybe one of the one of the days I may start to revise this, of course, with the permission of my friends, because my friends have written several portions here. So if I edit, it must be with their permission too. This talks about not only history, but the Bible Presbyterian distinctives. Those things that the Bible Presbyterian fathers have fought so hard over, right, to earnestly contend for the faith, because they regard it as very precious. Right. Go and learn about these things. And we pray that, you know, the Bible Presbyterian movement will continue as how it is. So among your discussion questions, which I don't know whether you will actually have time to go through, but if not, I will just leave it for you to take. Pray and ask yourself, what are the challenges that this current batch of Bible Presbyterian Christians are going through right now? Oh, there may be other future challenges, but what are the possible or even current challenges in which the Bible Presbyterian Church is going on now? Pray, because that is your battle. I prayed at least for myself that new evangelicalism will not come into the Bible Presbyterian Church, the faithful ones now. And I am utterly convicted that it may come in the form of new Calvinism. But also, I think what is more subtle is the generous spirit of worldliness, materialism, and thus generous spiritual apathy that has set in. These are some things that we must be really aware of. And may the Lord grant all of you of this generation the strength and the courage to stand up against this tide. Let us pray. Most gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy precious word which you have given to us. And indeed, Lord, how we pray that thou will continue to be gracious and merciful to thy people. We are people, O Lord, of many faults. And so oftentimes, O Lord, we have not walked faithfully before thee as how we have ought to walk. But Father, we can only plead of thee that thou would be merciful to us, and that thou, O Lord, would grant us the grace to walk in the right way. As we have learned, O Lord, from thy holy word, that spiritual strength and moral courage comes from thee. And so, Lord, help us to be like Joshua of old, of the children of Israel of old, who despite, O Lord, the many threatening circumstances that they face around in the world, yet they place their hope and their trust fully upon thee and thy precious word. And by thy grace, O Lord, they have walked faithfully before thee. So we pray, Father, that in the Bible Presbyterian Church, there will be yet another generation who will do so. And especially seeing that the days, O Lord, are rife with much evil and corruption, and especially, Lord, the signs pointing to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ are so visible. Please, Lord, grant us thy grace. So we commit, Lord, these things into thy hands. Strengthen all the FCMers here. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right. I think, is it now a time of Q&A, or will you all want to have a short break?